We'll commence at verse 1, Judges 10. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died, and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died, and was buried in Carmel, or in Kamon. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Amen. We'll end the reading there and trust in God's blessing upon his word. Well, I want to come once again to this portion of God's word for the last time, speaking a little and take lessons from these fairly unknown judges, these obscure judges that lived in times of peace in the land. They received a heritage. They received the land. They judged in a time when there had been much evil done by the previous ruler who made himself a king. Abimelech had made himself a ruler over the people of Israel, and he had done evil in the sight of the Lord. He had brought much sin in the land and taken the hearts of the people to worship not the Lord, but the gods of the nations around them. And so what they had received, these judges, Tola and Jair, was a very ungodly inheritance. But then we saw that in the midst of that, how the Lord did use them. And the ministry that they performed was thought of the last time, and how they were salts in the land for their time. And we looked at the application of what it means to be salts in the earth and to be faithful witnesses. Now, I want to finish by giving some further applications and look at the general message that was given by these judges. Tola and Jair served for a total of 45 years. They didn't lead armies, they didn't build cities, they did not write books, they were not inspired by the Lord. What they did was of great importance yet. What they did affected the time then. They were raised for a certain time. They served the Lord faithfully, and so there's a faithful record of them described here. They were not responsible for what happened before them. They were not responsible what people did after them. What they were responsible for, and what we are responsible for, is the time that they lived and the time that we live. And what we find is oftentimes the case that when the people of God fall into all kinds of snares, when they are not walking with God, then it affects others around them. It affects the nation in general. And God's judgment falls upon such nation. But it begins always with the Lord's people. And we have seen that in the past. And I mentioned to you of that great poem that was written. I think I said John Newton. It wasn't John Newton. It was William Cooper who wrote of this. When nations perish in their sins, 'tis in the church the leprosy begins. The priest whose office is with zeal sincere to watch the fountain and preserve it clear, carelessly nods and sleeps upon the brink, while others poison what the flock must drink, or waking at the call of lust alone, infuses lies and errors of his own. His unsuspecting sheep believe it pure, and tainted by the very means of cure, catch from each other a contagious spot, the foul forerunner of a general rot, and so on. And it all begins with those words that oftentimes it is quoted, when the nations perish in their sins, 'tis the church, the leprosy begins. I commend that piece of William Cooper to you. He saw the need in his day and the problems in the nation here in this country. And he said the source of the problem is the church. And so he wrote this of the church of his day. And so it is today. Why, we have to ask the question, why is the Western society, why is United Kingdom in this spiritual state as it is? Partly, not everything, but partly it has to do with the church. And that is something we have to admit. That is something we have to take to heart. And we must pray over. Daniel, when he was praying, he did pray. He took the nation's sin upon himself as well and prayed in the terms like we and us. And that he was the one who was also involved in the nation. So we can't just point the finger to outside. We have to point the finger to ourselves too. Now, I want to look at some lessons, further lessons that we must take from these words. These were obscure people to our eyes, and we saw how oftentimes when there is time of peace, very little is said because nothing really happens other than prosperity. You see, I'm not referring to this in terms of the Word of God, but oftentimes when things are going smoothly, when there's unity within the church, there's very little said about it. But then when there are issues and problems, people start to chat and talk, and things are raised and concerns are raised. But here was not a time of concern. Here times were times of unity, times that people were being built up. It was a very active time. We saw that in terms of peace and prosperity. It's not a time that to sit and lazy. Sadly, there are people today are sitting at ease in Zion, I believe. But that wasn't the case then. People were at work. At least these judges were faithful. Now, let's take some lessons from them. One of the things that I did refer to was the very names that they were given. It seems that the very names are very instructive for us. So there is lesson from the names of these judges. What do they mean? What do their names mean? Well, I think I mentioned the name Tola. Tola means the worm or a crimson worm. This speaks of the crocus worm found in the oak trees. And these worms were used to produce the red dye that was used in the articles, in the clothing that was used in the tabernacle and then later on in the temple. From the crushing of these worms, they would get the crimson color in their day. And the name Tola means worm. And I mentioned that this in itself, the very fact that this man kept his name and remained a judge, shows something of his humility there. But the root of it, of this word, it comes from the word that is to do with the worm and the being clothed in scarlet. Tola was the son of Pua, it says. And that word, Pua, means light. It means light. He's the son of light. And in this, his names, Tola gives us something. Something. He's called a savior. He came to save Israel, we read. He arose to defend Israel, we read in verse 1, which the literal rendering of that is, it means to save. And here is a Savior who has the name connected with scarlet, and also is the Son of Light. Who is that? It's a picture. It's a pointer, as judges were pointers to the coming Messiah, to the coming true Savior and the judge of Israel. Here's a man whose name means the crimson worm. And our Lord Jesus Christ is one who was crushed as well, as those worms would have been crushed. This, he speaks of this in the Psalms, in Psalm 22 and verse 6. This exact word is used in its other form. And it says this, "But I am a worm." That's in speaking in messianic terms. Psalm 22, remember, it begins with those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The words that our Savior cried out upon the cross. And then it says, but I am a worm. Tolath, it is. Crimson worm. And no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people. Tola reminds us of the Lord, who humbled himself so that he might save lost sinners from their sins, and to bring peace and prosperity to the hearts of those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And in some ways, Tola spent those years, 23 years, to build up the saints, to build up Jerusalem. But what happened? He died. And that building up of the work finished with him until it was taken up by Jair. But the building up of the Church of Jesus Christ continues on. It does not end. But let's look at Jair. We are told of Jair in verse 3. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. Jair means the enlightener. He reminds us of the Lord. The same wording is used in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Which refers to the Son of Righteousness. Those words link together. And our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself, of being the light of the world, in John 8 and verse 20. We are told that Jair is one who brings light. He enlightens. It's a verbal noun that is used for his name. And we also know that something, by way of detail about Jair, that he was a wealthy man. Why do we say that he was a wealthy man? Does it say he was a wealthy man? No, it doesn't say that. But the very fact, it says, and he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. That was the sign of wealth in the day. They all had their own ass colts. They all had their own donkeys, as it were. And that tells us of that he was a wealthy man. All of the 30 sons had their own donkeys. There is no mention here, let me point out, some people say, well, he was living in some kind of a disobedience against God. He must have had more than one wife and so on. Well, the Bible doesn't say that he had more than one wife. He could have had a number of wives who had died before. And so he might have had children. One of the commentators, John Trapp, he said that in our day, we have people who have 30 children. But he said, but not by one wife. The poor wife, probably the first one died. And then the second one had 15 children too. And at least John Trapp says in his day, they had cases like that. And so it does not mean that necessarily he had more than one wife altogether at the same time. But what we know is that each one of the sons had ass colts, donkeys, and also they had 30 cities, and then which was called Havoth Jair unto this day. And so they were to... They themselves became some form of judges under Jair, their their father, many believe. That he sent them out to help in the work of judging the people and leading the people. And friends, when we think about these things, we think about the things, the heritage that Jair gave to them and the work that he gave to his sons to do and the blessings that he gave to them, it reminds us of the Lord Jesus who owns everything and he shares everything that he owns with us. We read in Romans 8 and verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Jair is associated with ascalts, with these donkeys. And donkeys are associated with peace. Horses are associated with wars, but donkeys are associated with peace. In a world which was filled with turmoil, and again, we think of the Lord who is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace not just to Israel, but to the nations. And God raised such people. God raised all the judges in some way, in some form. They were pointers to the coming Messiah. And the Messiah who would come, these two judges brought about peace and unity in the land and brought the land into a more godly ways. And so our Lord Jesus Christ brings reconciliation between sinners and God. And those lands that prosper the most, spiritually speaking, are lands that have bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has children too, he sends them out as ambassadors into the world to preach that wonderful gospel and to speak those words of peace and salvation to the entire world, every city, every town, every village. And that's what we are called to do. Every Christian is an ambassador. And so this is just some basic things regarding the names of these judges, some basic lessons. But then think about their lives, some lessons from their lives themselves. Some of them we've already pointed to. One of the things that we learn from the lives of these people is that you do not have to be famous to make a difference in the world. You do not have to be somebody that you're well known, but you may be obscure and yet be used by God. Tola and Jair are not well known, at least in other ages. They were judges in their day, but very little is known about them. But their lives made a difference. To how many? To thousands of people living in Israel in that time. And the same, the lesson must be taken then. The same can be true of us. Some people think that they can't be used of the Lord because of certain limitations, that of certain things they can't do. And maybe because they may not have certain position, certain place of control or certain place of influence, a person might think that no one knows them. Well, remember that God has a place for every one of His children. If you are one of His, then you have a place. But are you being used by God? Are you making yourself available to God? Are you willing in those very things that the Lord has put you to be useful? Or you would say, well, this is the place for other people. This is some task for other people. Well, here is a lesson to learn. The Lord knows where you are, and when He has a different task for you, not necessarily a bigger assignment, but some other task with greater influence maybe for your life, He will come for you and He will use you in the ways that you can never imagine. But what are you doing now in the very positions that the Lord has placed you? Well, no one might see, no one might talk about it, may be thankless, but is God using? Are you being used by God? Are you being faithful? Your duty is to grow where you are planted. That's where the Lord wants you to grow and keep doing the very last things he asks you to do. There are some people who keep saying, well, I want to know the Lord's will for my life. Well, he's already revealed something of what he wants you to do now. Or else you have to say, I'm not living in the Lord's perfect will. But what the Lord has given to you and shown you right now, you must be faithful to those things, and then he will show you, if he wills, something else. If he wants you to go in a different direction, he will show you something different later. But are you faithful in those things that he's shown you? The last things he's shown you. You think about David with his sheep. He was shepherding them. He was tending to them until the Lord moved him in in another direction. You think again of Moses with his flocks. You think about Peter and Andrew and James and John with their nets. They were just doing what they were supposed to be doing at the time. And then the Lord came and called them to something else, to make them fishers of men, and so on. What has been the last thing God has given to you? This is something many young men and women oftentimes, they think, there's something else. They want to know what is the next thing the Lord has for them. Well, the last thing, do those things, the last things well for God's glory. And leave the matter of him leading you and coming and calling you to himself. That's one lesson to learn from this. Another lesson is this. You don't have to accomplish great deeds to live an extraordinary life. You don't have to accomplish something that is so great in the eyes of the people to actually live an extraordinary life. Tola and Jair never did anything extraordinary. But their lives still testify to their faithfulness today. They still are known as faithful judges. Now, what did they do? What great things did they achieve? Did they achieve the same sort, or did they have the great exciting life as other judges had? No. They were content to be faithful in their day and to be still in obscurity. Most of us will never be famous, nor will we accomplish great things after the world's standards. Even though you may not accomplish things that the world calls great, your life can be still extraordinary. If you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're faithful and faithfully serving his people, his church, raising and discipling your family and honoring him and honoring God's word and being faithful witnesses in the people around you. If you only touch one person's life, one young person, your children, your neighbor, that person's world will be changed. Isn't that what happened to us? Somebody spoke to us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody, we can look back in our lives and the various individuals who touched our lives for the better. Isn't that what we ought to be doing? Yes, in the eyes of the world, it's nothing. But in our eyes, we thank God it transformed our lives. It changed our lives. And so be fruitful in the place where the Lord has placed you. Be faithful in those things. And then in the Lord's eyes, you do things that are extraordinary. It is not ordinary. People of this world do ordinary things. The Christians are called to do extraordinary things because they are doing it for the extraordinary God. Another thing to learn from the lives of these men is that God, and this is a time that you might be very discouraged, maybe hopeless, but here is an encouraging thing for you. God can help you make the best of a bad situation. You might be in a situation where, as far as you know, there's not going to be any change. Maybe with your health, maybe with your age, maybe with your circumstances, maybe with your background that you've had, certain limitations are put on you. environment that you are in, the kind of job that you have, the kind of children you have, the kind of husband or wife that you have. There are certain things you can't maybe change. You might be tempted to say, this is hopeless. Tola and Jair inherited the country in trouble. It was a great mountain to be shifted. What would they do? And God gave them the ability to hold their nation together for nearly 50 years. There will be times of crisis that will come your way as you walk with the Lord. He has assigned those times just for you, not for someone else. He's given those individuals who are very difficult for you in your life. Or He has not given you certain people. His goal is to make you more like His Son. That's the aim of God. That's the plan of God, and He's going to achieve it. Praise God for that. He will achieve that, to make us more Christ-like. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 13? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's His aim. He's going to achieve it. He will give you the grace to stand in the hard times. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He will give you the sufficient grace. So remember that, friends. He will give you the grace to thrive in the midst of hardship, to make the best out of your very, in the world's eyes, and maybe in your eyes, a hopeless situation. You think about Joseph. You think about his trials. You think about how he was in prison. What would he do? What could he achieve? He can't do anything for the Lord, people might think. Until we read in the pages of the Scripture, he did the best he could for the Lord. He had his faith in God. And the Lord greatly used him. And his ultimate promotion. Another thing that we ought to learn from these obscure judges is that God is honored by, and He will be honored by a consistent life. You could not have a country turned around like this, a nation that was very godless, turned around like this, except through a consistent life of these judges who consistently were pursuing the Lord, consistently moving forward. They were not blowing hot and cold. They were not driving the people so hard in one direction and then give up and be discouraged. No, they just continued on. Day in, day out. Being faithful. Serving. Doing what they could to lead the people of God. And God blessed it. It is easy to give up. It is easy to be fired up about something. Isn't that the case oftentimes? We might listen to some sermon. We might go to some conference. Maybe go to some sort of a retreat of some form. And we all get fired up. We've all gone through that. And then after a few weeks, when we come back, when we have forgotten those things and we have got into the mundane things of life, we forget about those things. The Lord honors consistency. He will honor that. Tola and Jair did not accomplish anything that stands out. But you just have to look at the length of their judgeship. It reveals that they must have been consistent. They stood for the Lord for many years. Not just some years. They were not like some people who later on in their years, they mellow and they compromise. No. They stood for many years faithful. They were not like, we use the term, the flash in the pan. Few things honors the Lord like our being consistently faithful. And so it is the Lord's desire that every one of His children live that life that honors Him day after day. And that means we don't look at people. If you look at people, you will not be consistent. If you try to measure up to other people or get people to measure up to your level at this moment in time, maybe you would see people who are not really pulling their weight. Maybe you are at your work situation, in your office, and you look around and you think, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Nobody else is doing this, these things. And what it would result in, you then lowering your level down, your standards down. You become bitter. You start complaining and gossip starts and all of these things. And the same thing can happen spiritually. The same thing can happen in a family. Oh, well, he does the dishes. I have done mine last week, but this week is his turn and he wouldn't do that and so on. We can all do that kind of a thing. No, the Lord wants consistency. It says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what we read. So let me encourage you to keep living for the Lord, regardless of what is going on around you. Keep living for Him. That's the lesson that we take from these judges. Keep living for Him, even when times are lean and hard, when things are not many things are happening. Keep living for Him, even when others fall away. Keep living for the Lord, even when you're under attack. Keep living for the Lord, even when others walk away and they don't show much commitment or support or do anything. At the time of, at the end of a life of faithfulness, consistent love for the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is that you will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Those words are from the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, who will make every mile of the journey heavenwards, every valley that we have gone through, every water that we've passed through, and every fire that we have experienced in our lives, it makes all of those things worthwhile, because on that final day we will have His smile. On that final day we will have these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So in conclusion, Tola and Jair lived and died in obscurity. Not great things are made for them, but their lives continue to speak to us about our own walk with the Lord. And so their lives were not in vain in their day and also in our day, because they still speak. Them being dead yet speak to us. And this is saying, neither should be our life in vain. If it is living for Christ, it won't be in vain. Stay the course. If you're a child of God, stay the course. One day you will reach the end of your earthly journey. When that day comes, it will not matter whether you were famous or not, whether people knew you or not. It will not matter what you've achieved in life, really, in the eyes of the world, or what things you possessed. All that will matter is your relationship with and life with the Lord Jesus Christ. None of the things of this world you will carry with you. But what you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what matters. And that will matter, is what matters is if you have loved Him and shown your love for Him. Are these things speaking to you? Are there things in your life that should be addressed today? Certain things? Are you faithful? Are you being consistent in your walk with the Lord? Do you need to come before the Lord and say something to Him? Maybe to pray, Lord, it doesn't matter who knows me, as long as they can see Thee, as long as they can see Thee working in life, in my life. It doesn't matter where I am, as long as Thou hast placed me there, as long as I am where the Lord wants me to be. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what is happening to me, in my health maybe, in my circumstances, as long as the Lord is in control. It doesn't matter to me what I accomplish in life, as long as I accomplish everything that thou hast saved me for. That should be our prayer. And that should be our heartfelt desire before the Lord. Well, these are the things that we ought to take from these obscure judges, Tola and Jair. And may the Lord bless it. Amen.